Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Relationships, love, and sex, the spices of life, driving us all and commanding the wheel, is the media darling in the complex world of human behavior. Expert therapist, author, and radio host, Dr. Jane Greer. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy this fast-moving ride with fascinating guests. HealthyLife.net welcomes you to the Doctor on Call Hour with Dr. Jane Greer.
Hi, everybody. Helping yourself to know how is why you're here with Dr. Greer, and you're listening to the Doctor on Call Hour at HealthyLife.net. Today we're featuring Pop Psych, where we chat with leading experts in the mental health and psychology field who help us understand more about how our minds tick. We bring you the most compelling research and practical guidance on relationships and mental health. It's about understanding ourselves and others. We feature editors, authors, bloggers, and therapists to share the latest in the world of human behavior. But that is not all. We'll also be shrink-wrapping with none other than Jay Cruz, our amazing producer and the Velvet Voice host here at HealthyLife.net, where we indulge in all the latest celebrity news, exploring the ups and downs of their relationships, and most importantly, what lessons we can take away from their stories. Okay. Let's get started and kick things off with today's guest, Scott Grace. Scott is the author of Mindful Masculinity, a book for men and the women who love them, a thought-provoking guide that explores self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and the evolving definition of modern masculinity. With decades of experience in personal growth, Scott's attended workshops, studied modalities like nonviolent communication and intuitive development, and he's led transformative classes and coaching since his early 20s. His work blends music, humor, and poetry. It's showcased through his performances as a recording artist, a guest speaker, and his comedic alter ego, the spiritual Dr. Seuss. Welcome to the show, Scott. You've got a lot going on, and it's wonderful to have you here to talk about it all.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jane. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Same here. So let's jump right into, I love the term mindful masculinity because it really commands that you think about, that men think about their masculinity and women as well, not just use it as a definition. And you got some profound ideas about redefining masculinity. So first of all, what inspired you to write the book? And then please share with us what some of the concepts that you've introduced are all about.
Sure. Well, like all my books, I am preaching to the choir. The choir is me. And one of the main messages I needed to hear in my life that I didn't hear growing up was, you're good enough as a man. And you don't need to prove your masculinity. You already are deserving of love and respect, and your manhood is a done deal. It doesn't have to be proven. And I didn't hear that. So I spent a long period of time trying to prove my masculinity by getting the girl, getting the money, the fame. And all of that was for naught. It was like, wait a second, I woke up to the fact that I didn't need to do any of that. I could do it for fun and not for proving my worth. And it would have been a lot more fun and a lot easier to carve out my path in life if I knew I was already worthy. So the book was a spilling of my guts to help myself get the lesson more deeply in my bones. And if other men benefit from reading it, great. But I was writing it for myself, as I do all my books.
So it was a process of healing for you that you were then able to share with other men. What were the messages that you were given by your family that you needed to overcome? What were the messages that made you feel worthless rather than worthy?
Oh, well, my sensitivity and vulnerability are a weakness, was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I had to overcome my insecurity in order to make it in the world through strength, through willpower, through ego, that I had to develop what was called a healthy ego in order to make it into the world. And I had to go to college. I had to get a traditional job, follow in my father's footsteps. I could go on, but this is not a therapy session with Dr. Jane.
But so how did you muster up the inner strength to and the clarity to say, wait a minute, I'm casting off what they're telling me. I'm going to pursue being strong and feeling secure within myself. What were the steps that you took that you were writing about and encouraged other men to take?
Well, I found myself at odds with my parents and just losing any connection with them. I had to go out on my own. It took a lot of courage and a lot of trembling. I actually quit college in the middle of it and started down a spiritual path, which my parents were atheists. They took it personally. I was following a calling. I didn't know it at the time, but there was something deeper inside me than my mind that was saying, you have to go non-traditional. No matter what it takes, you have to follow your heart. And it took a lot of dark nights of the soul.
And how did you find the steps? Like, if for the people who are listening, for the men who are listening, who are feeling, you know, not grounded in their lives or not secure in their profession or insecure about being successful enough, how did you redefine success for yourself to step outside, you know, the expectations and the limitations that your parents imposed on you to cultivate your own?
One trembling step at a time, and
I love it.
I was very lucky that my parents were at least into therapy. They both had seen therapists. So my mother paid for my first therapist. I was 16 years old, and I got into it. I became self-reflective and willing to receive support at a young age. And men must overcome this egoic belief that you're not supposed to let down the window and ask for directions. Nowadays, everybody has a GPS, so it's not as important. But it is a metaphor that still has room in the male psyche to be looked at. And that is, men are usually the last of the species to reach out and get support. And somehow I sidestepped that, and I began taking lots of workshops, and going to therapists and eventually healers and coaches. And I just always was willing to have support. I always felt like I had a team behind me, and it wasn't just my own strength that was leading me forward in my life. Never did I feel like I was on my own.
Well, I have to say that is such, first of all, it was a wonderful journey that you opened yourself up to take. So, you know, kudos to you, first and foremost.
Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. And the message that you took away that you're passing on is so invaluable. And I have to say, not just for men, but for women as well, because there are so many people out there, and I as a therapist know this frontline, who see themselves as weak and insecure if they look for support, if they need help, if they're not going solo. And I remember 100 years ago when I was in graduate school, one of my professors said, this is the most important lesson you're ever going to learn. Solo is dodo. Never go it alone. Always, always garnish support. Get somebody in your corner. Have somebody there to have your back. And, you know, because so many people then bottle up their emotions, bottle up their feelings, and without the support, without recognizing that vulnerability, just as you said, is strength. And letting somebody help you, share with you, support you, guide you, is tremendous strength. It can encourage people to learn new skills, take new steps, steer away from alcohol, drugs, food, gambling, all the things that we use to keep the pain in place, keep it down, because we're supposed to soldier on and be strong. So, I mean, that's such a fabulously invaluable lesson that you clearly learned, you know, each and every trembling step the hard way, but really have passed on, which is excellent, really, really excellent. So, do you think, do the men that you've encountered, do you think that they are closed to the concept of embracing support, get help, let yourself lean on somebody? Is it, do you see them as resistant and reluctant to accept that, or has your experience been
I like to hesitate and not answer questions like that, because to imply that the men that I've come in touch represent the men out there, you know, like, hey, wait a second, I live in a bubble, you know, I come across many willing, emotionally available men who are seeing me because they've already been humbled by life, and I know that's not the main population out there,
right?
But it is a lovely bubble that I get to hang out with, men who are willing to be vulnerable, who have gotten down on their knees because of addictions and other things. I often joke, because I look at the reviews on Amazon, this latest book, there are more women reading it than men. And sometimes I joke, you know, the book should have been called Mindful Masculinity, A Book for Women and the Men Who Want to Keep Them. Because I just get stories about men who come to me for coaching who got the book because their relationship partner said, read this, or, you know, that's it. You know, this is your ticket out of here. You want to stay in this relationship? Read this book. Talk to Scott. You know, like, it's like they're desperate. They are desperate, and that, those are the kind of folks I get to work with.
So I hear you. You're getting a slightly biased sample of people who are already, and the men who are already open and receptive. So when the women are encouraging them, read this, they're at the brink of desperation. What is it that these men are not doing? What is it that the women are reading the book and saying, you've got to learn this? What is it they want? What's the core of the masculinity piece that these guys are missing?
Sure.
And they're just about at the, you know, at the being shown the door.
Sure. Well, the roles are changing and the rules are changing, and it's all up in the air. And men who have been conditioned to just be the protectors, the breadwinners, the ones who are constantly strong, women want more than that nowadays. They want not just the male side, but the feminine side. They want to hear about their feelings. They want to be listened to. And it takes a man who has developed some of his feminine side to be able to listen with compassion and not with what I call Mr. Fix-It, the part of the brain that sees a woman's feelings as a problem to be solved. And out of, with the best of intentions, here, I'll help you, honey, I'll fix that. You know, the man starts offering solutions and doesn't have space in his heart for a woman's feelings. And that often leads women to be so frustrated that they just want more than protection and masculinity nowadays. They want the whole enchilada.
Right. Well, that is so true with so many people. that women have it with men, and men have it with women as well, that, you know, when you're venting, when you're talking about your problems, you want the other person to simply be empathic and listen and say, that must be rough. I that sounds like a lot that you're dealing with, or I can understand how hard that is, rather than jumping in to say, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, men typically are the fixers. Get the hammer, get the nail, and hang the picture, and put things in place. And so it's almost as if there is a knee-jerk reaction to step in with solutions. And so many women find that just so missing the mark, that they're not even up to the problem-solving mode of next step. All they want to do is get it out and be understood. And, you know, so for the men to hear that, has that helped them to shift gears, to move from trying to tell their partner what to do to just listening with empathy?
Yeah. You know, I plant seeds, but it takes more than reading a book about it. Ultimately, it's nice to have an intellectual understanding. And it's nice if a woman is able to say, I would just love for you to hear me. Right now, I don't need these problems to be solved. If you can just make an occasional empathic noise, like, you know, to actually train a man as to exactly what to do, and then reward him with appreciation. You know, thank you. I just needed to be heard. You know, yes, you can hold my hand. Give me a hug. You know, to actually train his empathy ears. Here's what empathy sounds like. Here's what it looks like. Go ahead. Go for it. This is not a time to solve my problem. And no matter how much a man hears that, he might be emotionally distant and unavailable on a deep level, no matter how many sounds he makes that are the correct sounds, because he's frozen. And that frozenness comes from not being comfortable with his own vulnerability. So that's, a man must take the inner journey in order to become available for a woman. He has to become available to his own emotions. And that's an inside job, and that's what the book is about, how a man can become emotionally available to his sadness, his grief, his anger, his fear. So many men are just so scared of their fear, they turn it off and they don't even touch it. And it turns to anger, and it turns to judgments, and it turns to righteousness.
Right. You know, it's not only the being able to get in touch with the sadness, but would you also say that it's about encouraging men to share what they get in touch with their partner? Because a lot of times, I hear this all the time with the couples I work with, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he's feeling. He keeps everything to himself. Do you find that when you help the men to become more consciously mindful of their feelings, that they're then more willing to share them, or do they need the encouragement with that as well, you know? Time to share.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded that John Gray opened up a lot for relationships in the 1980s with his Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus book. And he basically said that women and men process emotions differently, that a woman gets in touch with her emotions by opening her mouth and just sharing. And a man needs cave time. And he talked about going into a cave, and that men need to be left alone when they're in their cave. And that men need to learn to say, I need some alone time. I'll be in my cave. Please don't disturb me. I'll come out when I'm ready. And a woman has to stop knocking on the door of the cave saying, are you ready yet? And go shopping with her female friends. You know, that was John Gray's way of teaching people to respect each other's differences. And I think we've come a long way since then. And it's actually a survival necessity for us to go beyond that. Like, men need to connect with their emotions. It's a survival thing. We're actually at a point where if men don't open their hearts to, they're going to destroy the world. You know, the patriarch is freaking the world out, the climate change, not making choices connected to the feminine love of life, nurturing of life, the way the feminine is designed to nurture life. We need to use our masculinity to serve the earth and to serve the feminine values.
Okay,
Otherwise, we're going to go bye-bye to the planet.
Thank you, because that we certainly don't want to say bye-bye to the planet. We're going to say bye-bye here for just a minute because we're taking a break, and we'll be back with more Pop Psych here at HealthyLife.net with Scott Gray. Stay tuned. Back in a minute.
How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then How Could You Do This to Me and What About Me are the titles of two separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com. The positive side of podcasts. Always have been, always will be. Uncensored, entertaining, timeless talk. HRNpodcast.com. Take a break from the dark side.
Welcome back to the Doctor on Call Hour here at HealthyLife.net. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and I'm continuing my conversation with Scott Grace. He's the author of Mindful Masculinity, a book for men and the women who love them. Scott, you were talking about the importance of intelligence and using intelligence, but you also talk about emotional intelligence. So share a little bit about that. How do you become, what are the emotions that men need to recognize to consider themselves emotionally intelligent / aware? And
well,
how do you get them in touch with it?
Through the School of Hard Knocks. You know, reading my book is great, but you don't become emotionally intelligent by studying emotions like you do going to school and studying this or that. It's more like you get intimate with the basic four feelings: sadness, joy, anger, and fear. Are the basic four food groups of emotions, and there's lots of subdivisions, but those, if you can just remember, I'm either feeling scared, sad, glad, or mad, you got the four down. And there's a whole lot to this. There's like, okay, I don't feel anything, I'm feeling numb. Well, great, how do you feel about feeling numb? Do you feel frustrated? Are you angry that you don't feel anything? Great, you're angry. There's the fact that our culture trains us to go straight to our heads and say things like, I feel like you're not listening to me, which is not a feeling at all. It's a judgment of what you think the other person is doing, and it's likely
right.
to inspire defensiveness. So whenever you say, I feel, and you use the word like or as if, you're about to share your judgments, not your feelings. So we're all pretty screwed up emotionally because we come from a culture that denies pure feeling and sends us straight up into our intellect to interpret our feelings instead of to feel them.
You know, that
so we've got
is,
a lot to unlearn.
Yeah, that is so true. So the first step for everybody out there who wants to shine a light on their emotional intelligence is to use the word feeling, I hate to say it judgmentally, but properly, in the correct way, because feeling is not thinking. It's exactly the opposite. It's experiencing the emotional energy. It's not what you think about it. And you are so on point. So many people do say, well, I feel you are. That is not a feeling. That is a judgment. And I get this all the time when I'm dealing with couples, you know, that, well, I tell her how I feel all the time. And, you know, he's telling her what he thinks she's doing wrong. And, of course, she's getting defensive or vice versa. You know, she's telling him, I feel you are, you know, really sloppy. And that is not feeling. Feeling is the impact that the person's behavior has on you. If your partner's really sloppy and messy, then the way you feel about it is frustrated or burdened when you leave your mess out for me to clean up. And that's what people, because when we hear the way somebody feels, most people start out their day wanting to please everybody that they come in contact with. They want to make their partners happy. They want to make their families happy. They want people to feel good for the most part. And yet we go through the day being annoyed and irritated and irritating a lot in our interactions and encounters because we say the wrong thing or do things unwittingly that are, as you say, not emotionally intelligent, that are unaware, and then everybody feels defensive and attacked. So I think that your notion to use the word feeling to express your feeling, not what you think about somebody else's behavior, is really, really, really tremendous. What are some of the practical personal stories that you've used to share and help people, you know, gain the vision from the anecdote to understand what you're talking about?
Meaning, what true life examples do I use to teach? What experiences have I had that have made me more emotionally available?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, I was broken down by life to the point where I had no choice to be emotionally unavailable. In other words, I had such raw grief. For instance, I never thought I would be a dad, and I had a child with a woman, and she broke up with me soon after, and I had a vow that if I ever had a child in this life, I would never leave the relationship. I would never have a broken relationship, because my vow came from the pain I felt when my parents divorced, and so suddenly I was doing the thing I was dreading ever happening again, and I was going through so much pain that I couldn't help but feel it all. And I mean, I literally did drink alcohol hoping for some relief and got none. Like,
right.
I couldn't addict myself out of the feeling process. It was just
wow.
time for the nervous breakthrough into my emotions. And I look back with great affection and amazement at the way that I survived it and the way that I was a single parent, or at least, you know, co-parenting, and got through it and learned and grew and became humble. And, it's like, in some ways, I think that people who haven't been broken down by failure, loss, tragedy, have a problem. they don't have learned motivation to learn the hardest but most important lessons of life, and they get to be on the surface and
right.
sort of tread water with life. I like to hang out with people who have been broken down, who have had to face addictions and tragedies and abuse and neglect and trauma, and have learned from that stuff.
It's so powerful, because everything that you're saying is take life's pain and make it a gain. If you turn it into a lesson, if you look at everything that doesn't work out, where you feel unfortunate or you're experiencing misfortune, and you translate it into, what do I need to learn? What's the lesson here? What am I supposed to gain from this? You take a minus sign and you turn it into a plus. Instead of wallowing and being steeped in the loss of what didn't work out, you turn it into a plus, because you've now learned, as you did, how you're going to handle something differently. If this happens again, I'm all in. I'm going to be a parent, you know, front and center. I'm not going to abandon in the way that I was abandoned. And that, you know, those are the kinds of lessons, the value lessons, that are so invaluable in, you know, helping us live be our best and live the quality lives. So I must say, Scott, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, sharing your mindful masculinity. And for all of you out there interested, Mindful Masculinity, a book for men and the women who love them, is available on Amazon and at your favorite retailers. Thank you so much, Scott.
You're so welcome.
And everybody stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to be shrink wrapping with Jay Cruz right here on HealthyLife.net. Back in a minute.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person, Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit DrJaneGreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com. Remember, media with integrity. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to the Doctor on Call Hour. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and it is now time for Shrink Wrap with Jay Cruz. Jay has extensive experience as a broadcasting professional, and he's used his background and experience to help produce, coach, and further the positive vision of Healthy Life Radio and all its numerous shows. So the celebrity stars shine so brightly, and we all look up to them, yet we're puzzled when they fall. So Shrink Wrap is here to shed light on all. And we're going to talk about what we can learn from the trials and triumphs of not only celebrities, but all relationships. All right, Jay, let's get cracking into the world of celebrity news, because this has been a week full of emotional stories, and we want to look at what we can take away. What's the lesson that we can take away from what they're dealing with? So can we start with John Stamos? Have you heard this story? It's just kind of confounding. When I heard this, I said, I really went, huh? He's out there being a good friend, showing his support for his friend. Oh, goodness. Now I'm blocking his name, who has
Dave Coulier.
Yes, thank you. Who has cancer. And he shaved his head to, which is, for the record, known to be the act and gesture of support, of love and support for a friend, compassion for a friend who's dealing with cancer. And have you heard that people are actually throwing backlash left and right, like saying, how could he do this? Why would he do this? I mean, how do you take something that is so pure-hearted and such a gesture of love and speaks of devotion and caring and turn it into something negative? Go ahead, take a crack at that.
Well, I guess he didn't quite shave his head, but it appeared that he did. He had a, you know, he's an actor, and, you know, they have access to makeup and props. I don't know if you've seen the Penguin series on HBO, but Colin Farrell doesn't look anything like Colin Farrell, so anything's possible when it comes to TV and film. He put on a bald cap and took some photos, and was a very nice, I saw the Instagram post, it was a very nice heartfelt message of support. He also, you know, threw out a heartfelt support to Dave's wife, you know, who's going through this with Dave. And, you know, number one, they had a hit show years ago, and the fact that they can still be friends and bond, and he would step up and do this is a great gesture of friendship. Now, I do wonder where the backlash comes from. Even if he just wore a cap, a bald skin cap, right, as he did, and didn't go all the way to shaving his head. I mean, I understand that is the universal and people do that, but maybe he just didn't, you know, he might have acting roles coming up. I don't know. Maybe he didn't feel like shaving his head, but he still showed a ton of support. He did this. His friend loved it, and I don't get the anger and backlash, and these folks that are raging against him for doing this need to really stop and take a look at themselves.
So well said. I mean, you know, okay, so then the issue that they're taking is the fact that it was not a full shaven head and seemed to not have the authenticity or, you know, being completely shaven, which is, in my opinion, that's kind of ludicrous, because exactly as you said, he's an actor. His appearance is part of his livelihood. And so to even take or make a gesture to say, this is what I would do completely if I could, that's what needed to be recognized. That was the declaration of love and support. And it's just, it's so sad that people would miss that and turn this into what it lacks as opposed to what it demonstrates. And, you know, it's really harsh to see that people condemn somebody for caring and not caring in the way that they, again, like we were talking about on the show, judgmentally, judgy, that the way that they think they should, as opposed to being open and recognizing and acknowledging that caring is caring and love is love. And there is no price to be put on it, and there is no right or wrong. It is. It just is. And it you know, as a therapist, it makes me feel very sad for those people who I can't help but wonder, like, are they getting the love and the support that they need? You know, or are they getting judged, and that's what they know to do, that they're passing on the judgment? But it really, I thought, you know, there are so many actors now who are out there who are sharing their cancer battles. James Vanderbeek, you know, all these different people obviously it's not just the actors and celebrities, it's right. So many people, right? But to hear their stories and then to see the way people come out to be supportive, I think it's so positive, because that helps everybody in their lives, just as Scott was talking about, being open to support and
open
recognizing.
And one more step with his topic, you know, men being open about their feelings for centuries. It's just, you know, pull up the bootstraps and put on a brave face. Maybe in the last, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, it's been okay for men to open up with their feelings. You know, in the second half of, like, my lifetime, it's been more acceptable. Before that, it was like, nope, we don't do that.
Right. And to your point there, exactly in terms of it being acceptable, when do you need support more ever than when you are not feeling well, or when you're coping, you know, battling a major illness? I mean, support is the healing elixir that helps you through it, which is why people go to church and pray for their loved ones. And, you know, the power of the positive energy and the love and the support and the care that people direct to their loved ones helps them to heal. So, you know, anybody out there listening, if you know somebody who's dealing with an illness, show them the love and the support in any way that you can. And, you know, do not let yourself be steered away from it for fear of judgment, that it's the wrong thing, you're not doing the right thing. You know, a lot of times, Jay, people will say, I was going to do this, but I didn't know if I should, I didn't know if it would be the right thing. Think in terms of love and support. There is no right or wrong. It if it comes from the heart, you're doing the right thing.
That's so well said. And something to consider during the holidays, you know, instead of the Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all of those things that were, you know, force-fed and told to consume, you know, feelings and support and love is really what we should be focusing on. You know, I know that Madison Avenue and big corporations don't want to hear that, but they'll put it in the ads to, you know, remind us of that as long as we buy something. But, you know, this is even Dave Coulier, the person who's going through cancer, he's the most positive of this whole thing. And so many others who have gone through this same situation of an illness and a battle, they're humbled. They're, you know, their ego is diminished, you know, and they take on a different role in life. And they, through example, do lead and show us that we should drop the ego, leave it at the door. Maybe we don't need it. Support loved ones no matter what, even if maybe people don't understand why you're doing it. But the person that you're supporting does get it, and it does benefit them. And he's positive he's going to do okay with this. We hope he does. Everyone, so many people go through this. And the only person I remember who was a celebrity who was diagnosed with cancer, who was very, kind of had a negative thing, was the legendary guitarist Eddie Van Halen. You know, he also was in recovery, and apparently he didn't enjoy it. You know, he preferred to keep drinking and partying. But he was not happy, and various things added up. He didn't take it on with such a positive aspect from public persona and everything else. I think the power of positivity is huge and can benefit anybody going through this, in addition to the other treatments as well. But we're coming up on our break, and we'll continue after this with more.
Absolutely. That sounds terrific. Everything you said is so important and so on point. So we're going to talk some more about the power of love and support and healing and sharing. You don't want to miss it, so stay with us. We'll be back in a minute here at HealthyLife.net for more Shrink Wrap.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit DrJaneGreer.com, www.DrJaneGreer.com.
How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you're trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of 2 separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to HealthyLife.net. I am Dr. Jane Greer and Mrs. Shrinkwrap. Jay Cruz and I are talking about the celebrities and the takeaway lessons they offer us. So we were talking about John Stamos, and let's talk about Selena Gomez right now, because she's out and about on the news. If you talk about overcoming hardship, learning from very, very, very painful life lessons. She had a very traumatic breakup years back from Justin Bieber. I Had to Lose Me, Had to Lose You to Find Me was her song. She battled lupus. She underwent a kidney transplant. She did her special, her biography on her autobiography, video on documentary on My Mind and Me, where she was diagnosed bipolar and shared the most intimate details of her mental health. And she, in the midst of all of this, talk about soldiering on stamina, resilience, determination, and the willingness to be authentic and open and vulnerable so that other people can learn from what she's been through, from her trials and tribulations. I've seen her on a couple of interviews. She's in a wonderful, loving relationship. She said, "I'm fabulous," because she's enjoying her life. It's been a marvelous year. She's at the pinnacle of her acting with Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short. So she's you know, the laughter is the best medicine. She's found her way to laughter all the time, has found the stability and support in a way probably that she never even imagined. And she's out and about sharing and talking about it so that people can learn, just like we were saying before, to stare straight into their struggles, to look them head on, and to challenge yourself, to rise to the challenge and not be overcome and done in by the challenge. So she's really tremendous.
No, she's very, very brave. And at some point, you, going through this, you kind of come to a, you know, again, an understanding or a surrender for anyone dealing with that. It's like, you know, the ego keeps us going and fighting until we maybe can't fight anymore, or what we have to fight with isn't working, and then we have to sort of give up and surrender. And, you know, I know a lot of people listening to HealthyLife.net radio are familiar with autoimmune diseases like lupus and Epstein-Barr, chronic fatigue, those type things. In fact, that's part of why this network was founded. Our founder had gone through this, Linda McKenzie, had gone through chronic fatigue many years ago, and in trying to come to it, had to come to natural ways to overcome it, because the medical establishment, you know, couldn't, wouldn't, or a lot of times I've had personal connection with people dealing with lupus. Sometimes they just go, "Nah, it's all in your head," and don't even
right.
acknowledge
you
it because. Right, because the, you know, blood tests don't show anything, and this and that doesn't show anything, and, you know, yet the person is going, but this is what I'm feeling, and
right.
they just get ignored.
Right. Well, but, you know, it's interesting because Jelly Roll, you talk about somebody who was really coming from a place where it was his talent and his invincibility that helped him get through 10 years of, or however many years he was in jail. And all the trials and tribulations that he had, his song Beautifully Broken and Save Me, where, you know, he talked about not being able to dream anymore. All his dreams were broken. I think you see that there are many different ways that people's dreams are broken. We come at it from different directions. Some people reach the top of the mountain, you know, reach the success, and then the dreams suddenly fall apart. Some people are broken and never feel that they can get there, but you see somebody like Jelly Roll persevere and, you know, get there. Selena was there and took a tumble, but they all got back on their feet. I mean, I think that's what's so remarkable about the strength that they show and the not only motivation, but inspiration that they pass on to all of us, that we too can carry on in the midst of trial and trauma and difficulty, and we too can overcome. We don't have to be done in by life. We can make life work for us.
And, you know, when it comes to life, something tragic is going to happen to nearly every person on this planet. We're going to face something. We're all going to pass. None of us are going to live forever. And, you know, at some point, something is going to get us. Our time is going to be up. And you can have the greatest life, the most money, have just everything, you know, the Midas touch. You know, imagine just perfect perfection. But at some point, something is going to happen. You know, either a friend or a loved one. Something is going to happen, some kind of tragedy.
Right.
And, you know, being able to face it and deal with it in a positive way is something that, if it hasn't happened yet, is something to consider looking into it when it does happen. You know, preparing for this. There are certain organizations that, you know, talk to their members about, you know, preparing to die, not necessarily being morbid, but if you're in a father, mother, parent position, or elder, grandparents maybe, and you know, hey, I'm 60, I only got X amount of years maybe to go, I'm in, you know, third quarter of my life or whatever, you start to realize these things are there. You've seen people, friends, colleagues go unexpectedly, too young, if you will.
Right.
right. from, you know, like nobody knew it, heart attack, boom, or nobody knew it, bam, they had this. And, you know, something is going to get to us all, either personally or, you know, one step away with a friend or a loved one. So, you know, finding a way to be sympathetic, to be empathic is something that I think I want to take away and share with all of our listeners today as kind of the lesson with shrink wrap. You know, a symbol or a talisman to get through a situation. We've seen so many movies where there's a person going through something and they're holding like a little doll from childhood or a little picture that their grandson or, you know, son made right. for them or whatever. And it's just a subject, but it means so much to them. I remember, I'm getting a little teared up, and we're going to wrap up after this, but because this is still emotional for me, but I bought a New York Yankees hat on September 12th, 2001, because I wanted to show wow. solidarity for New Yorkers. And, you know,
right.
I live in California right. where people are like, why are you wearing a Yankees hat? And it's like, it's not about the team. It's about this. And
The bond.
Yeah.
It could have happened. Connective tissue.
And it could have happened.
Taylor Swift writes about it as the invisible string, the connective wires that made you feel connected to all of the New Yorkers and the pain, sharing the loss.
Absolutely. It's something that could have happened to anybody at any place. That's where it happened to be. And, you know, so, you know, find those talismans, find those things to get you through. You know, listen, people, when they're going through tragedy or health issues, you know, they want to be heard. And that's part of being a sympathetic ear, an empathic ear. And, you know, when people do go through that, that's what they want most. They just want to be heard. You know, so many people go, you know, offer different suggestions, which aren't the right thing to do. You know, they just want to be heard, and just allow them the space to say what they want to say. And that's about the, you know, one of the nicest things we can do as a friend for somebody.
It's the nicest thing you can do for anybody, friend, family, mother, father, sister, brother. As a therapist, I can say unequivocally, the power of listening is incredibly powerful. It is worth its weight in gold to listen and not judge and just be empathic. I always say to the people that I work with, you want to think of yourself as carrying the oil can for the Tin Man. And you're listening to somebody, they are stiffened up with pain and sadness or upset or fear. All you want to do is oil them with empathy. I understand is the oil that helps people move and move on their pain. Well, Jay, I have to say thank you so much again for such an insightful and meaningful and poignant conversation.
Oh, you're very welcome. Sorry to get a little emotional there, but I still have those feelings.
Yeah, and that is the power of emotion and feelings. They stay with us, and they stay with us forever, so that they keep us learning, and they keep us feeling, and they keep us human. So thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Join me next month. We'll have a new episode of the Doctor on Call Hour with more fabulous guests. Be sure to visit me online at www.drjanegreer.com for relationship tips and advice. Check out my latest book, Am I Lying to Myself? How to Overcome Denial and See the Truth, on Amazon. And remember, you can always get what you want when you're in the know.
Thank you for joining Dr. Jane Greer for Doctor on Call. Listen to this episode again anytime on demand at HealthyLife.net. Keep up with Dr. Jane Greer's social media, blogs, magazine articles, books, and guest appearances at her website, DrJaneGreer.com. Dr. On Call with Dr. Jane Greer is produced and syndicated by HealthyLife.net. All positive, Web Talk Radio.